Psalm 119, verse 165. Let me know when you're ready. Ready in the back? Back section good? Left section ready? We'll give the right section another minute. They're always a little behind. All right, ready? Here we go. Psalm 119, verse 165. Let's read it out loud together. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing causes them to stumble. Let's read that again. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing causes them to stumble. Next verse. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your, say it. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your, my tongue shall speak of your, for all your are righteous. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, your is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you. Let your help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your. Okay, so we got a lot of words in there that allude to doctrine, the teaching of the Word of God, the stories of the Bible, the poetry of the Bible, the express commandments of God in the Word, the statutes and principles that are in place, all of them in that passage. It's really a fascinating passage. But it starts off and it says, great peace have those who possess or who love your law. They possess a great peace, an inner peace. Nothing causes them to stumble. The King James says, nothing shall offend them. And the word here for stumble, the word offend is translated stumble. But the word stumble means to stumble at due to the actions of another or inactions of another. And I was thinking about it last night, and I thought, why are so many people offended all the time? We live in an age where there are so many people offended. People are offended by everything. They're offended by what you say. They're offended by what you don't say. They're offended by what you do. They're offended by what you don't do. They want you to respect their rights to speak their mind, but don't you speak yours because it will offend them. They have a right to do what they want to do, but you don't have a right to say what you think. But they have a right to say what they think about the way you think. Don't offend them. The world is filled with this right now. How many would say amen? Amen. How many are sick of it? Amen. How many are just waiting, Lord, just rapture us now? Amen. Let's go. There you go, Lord. We voted. Come get us. We live in an age where offenses abound. Everyone is offended about something, by someone, and, it happens in the church, too. Not the church. Yes, the church. Some of you get offended once in a while. Right? I remember not being invited to a meeting of pastors. It was a group of guys that were meeting in a particular place. We were all there. People all over the world were there, and there was a meeting that somebody, hey, we're going to meet. These pastors are going to meet, and I got wind of it. And then I asked, so what time are we supposed to be there? And he said, well, you're not supposed to go. And I was literally devastated. I was like, why not? What's the matter with me? You know. And one of my good friends who was invited tried to explain what the meeting was about, and I kind of just brushed it off. At the time, I just said, well, yeah, that's okay. I got to do something else. Karen and I are blah, blah, blah. I made something up, you know. But deep down, I was deeply wounded by the whole thing. And I could tell, and you could there was an awkward feeling talking to him. You ever have that happen? He's awkward, you're awkward, we're both awkward. It's very awkward. You just want it to be over. I was offended. I remember I was a song leader in Rome. I used to lead the music in Rome and the church there. Not Rome, Italy, for those who don't know. The Vatican doesn't have a band. But or maybe they do. I don't know. But in Rome, New York, I was a song leader. Got there in 1983. I was in the Air Force at the time. They laid hands on me suddenly because I played guitar. And they had like, hey, you, what's your name, Jerry? You're our new song leader, you know. Not quite that quick, but I came up and I led songs, and we went through some trials over 3-4 year period. And at the end of that 3 or 4 year period, I was just very abruptly replaced for no reason. There wasn't a reason. I didn't do anything wrong. There wasn't anything wrong with the music. I was assured of that 100%, but someone else was coming who had great guitar skill and was a leader in another ministry, and he came and I was told he's going to take over the music ministry. You remember that? Wasn't I so happy when that happened? I was like, that was like devastating to me. I was like really hurt by that because I didn't know why. To this day, I still don't know why. I was a way better song leader than him. I kept leading songs. All he did was organize and then put the songs out, you know. So, but he was a way better administrator, and the guy had great maturity in the Lord, and he was a sweetheart. He ended up being one of my closest friends. But I was so brutally offended by that. I was just so hurt. You know, I was just like a little baby. It was unbelievable. And I remember I was sitting in the chapel one day, and I was waiting for music practice to start on a Saturday afternoon. And I'm just kind of sitting there brooding over the whole thing. You know what brooding is, right? Stewing, pouting, sulking. What's another word? Broody. Pouting, broody. I already said that. What? Brooding. Brooding? Is it brooding? It is brooding. It's not brooding. No. Believe me, I was doing both. And I'm sitting on this platform on the edge of the stage at the church there, and the Holy Spirit is on me like white on rice, you know. And all of a sudden, I just get this thought that I'm going to vacuum the platform so he doesn't get any dirt on his shoes. And I started vacuuming. When he came in, I got his guitar out, and I tuned it for him. And I just decided I was going to, rather than be offended by his presence, I was going to serve him. And I did. And he couldn't believe it. I remember after about 2 weeks of that, he took me aside. He said, you know, you handled it way better than I would have handled. And I said, probably. But it doesn't matter, because I handled it the way God wanted me to handle it. And that's one of those times in my life where I did something right. You know, I handled a situation like that correctly. But you got to wonder, why are we so easily offended? Why do things happen in churches, outside of churches, at work, at home, relatives? We are so easily offended. We stumble so easily. Why are we so easily offended? I'm asking you, answer the question. No, I'm asking you, why are we so easily offended? God, here's the first thing you have to realize before we answer the question. God is always dealing with your heart. Always. And you know, he's not going to do it with things you love and people you appreciate. He's going to do it with people you don't know and people you don't really like that much in situations that you're uncomfortable with. That's how he gets at your heart. Sometimes he does it with people who love you and that you love them, and you're just, they see something and they talk to you and they have great influence and you're humble and you listen, you know. That's about 1 out of 1,000 times that happens, maybe. But the rest of it is you're put in a situation that just knocks you right off balance. And someone says something and it offends you, or somebody does something or doesn't do something and it bugs you. And you brood. You brew on it. You make a beer. No, brood. All right. So, but God is always dealing with our hearts, right? And here's why I think we're so easily offended. Here's 5 reasons that I think we get easily offended. Number one, I have unhealed emotional and psychological wounds from the past. I think every one of us does. According to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6, it says, from the head of the toe, from your head to your toes, right? Wounds bruises, and putrefying sores. That's the state of mankind. See, sin has left every human being with emotional and psychological wounds. Hello? Y'all got them. Everybody. Everyone in this room has some kind of wound. Social, mental, psychological. For me, there's something that somebody did, something they didn't do, something you did in the past. Every one of us has them. They're scars and wounds. Those things are one of the reasons why we get triggered or we get offended so easily. Second reason is because we perceive our honor or our beliefs or our public image as being threatened. Our honor, our beliefs, or our public image as being threatened. We feel like, okay, well, they're offending my honor, they're offending my beliefs or my public image. And you all have a public image. It's what people think of you. That's your public image. What people perceive about you is your public image. And nobody wants their public image to be threatened. Nobody likes that. I mean, nobody wants anybody to think something of them that is less than what you want them to think of you, right? And I think we get offended easily when we're in a place where that gets touched. The third thing is when we're just self-conscious about something. We're just self-conscious about it. Somebody says, you know, like when you go to the doctors and they take your blood pressure and they say to you, your blood pressure is a little high. Or like my doctor, your blood pressure is perfect, but you could stand to lose a few pounds. She said, let me show you what your weight has done in the last 15 years. There's a very gradual incline, then it leveled off. But she said, you didn't go this way. We were supposed to go this way. So she takes her notes out. She says, 5 years ago, you were going to go this way, and you went this way. We wanted to go this way, Jerry, this way. Now, if Harry walked up to me and grabbed my stomach like this and said, you could stand to lose a few pounds, I'd make a fist like this. There was a woman in our church who, one of the ladies was a nutritionist, and she walked up to this woman and she just patted her belly. And she said, I could help you. Look at all your faces. Look around the room. You're like, okay, first of all, you don't do that. The woman was a little chubby, to be honest with you. Are you offended by that? Did I offend you? So my doctor says that it's fine because it's in context, right? I asked for it. I went to the doctors. I don't want her to tell me, you know, oh, yeah, everything's fine. You're perfect. Just go out and get yourself a pizza and go home. You know, you don't want your doctor to say that. You want your doctor to be honest with you. You want the doctor to prevent some things, right? By the way, all of you should get this, if you can get it, that it's a carotid test. Your carotid, don't brood about your carotid arteries. Your corrosive arteries. It's like a 2-minute test. You ask your doctor, it may keep you from having a heart attack, or not keep you from the heart attack, let you know you're going to have an issue down the road if you're not careful. All right. We're all self-conscious about something. And if you're extremely self-conscious about, I don't know, your clothes or your budget or your finances, and someone makes a little comment, it may not even be directed at you and you could be offended. Self-consciousness is something. Number four. We're under way too much stress, and we're just not healthy, and we just can't handle things. That's a big one. So you come home, and, you know, at the end of the day, you've both been working like crazy. Your wife's been working really crazy. She's been cooking. She went to her job. Then she came home. The kids are crazy. They're just insane. And then stuff's broken, and she's trying to get food on the table, and she doesn't have the spices that she needs, but she's trying to do that, and all of a sudden you walk through the door, and you're exhausted, you just plop on the couch. You don't even say anything. Oh, boom, on the couch you go. Might she be offended?
Yes.
What if you say, hey, what's for dinner in there? She might get a little offended if she's under too much stress or she's just not healthy. I mean, How many of you ever get real tired and someone just says something to you and you just want to strangle them? Ever happened to you? Larry, that ever happened to you? It was me. You know, you're exhausted. You're under a lot of stress, and you know, so you get offended. It's part of life. And so this is why when you're around people who have a lot of stress and they're really tired, you got to try to help de-stress them and de-tire them a little bit, or just stay away from them. You know, you go over there. Let me know when you feel better. I'll be over here. Or number five. We just have the habit of taking things way too personally. And part of that's because we've never learned how to see things from other people's perspectives. You know, so somebody says to you, hey, that's really, why'd you do that? Just, you know, and then you say, what do you mean? What did you do? You know, you get all offended by it. Or you could say, I did it like that because that's how would you have done it? You know, what should I have done? What do you think I should have done? But we don't do that. We just get offended. Here's why we get offended. One of the reasons why we allow this to happen is because it's far easier to mark someone else as a villain than it is to consider that you may have an issue in your heart God wants to deal with. It's just easy to say they're wrong. They did this. They said that. They're idiots. They're whatever, you know. And it's easier to do that. It's far easier to do that. Nobody wants to do the work of taking something that's created an offense and bringing that to God. It's so much easier in the short run to just say, I'm not going to talk to him again. It's like a drug, almost. Being offended is like a drug. It's a powerful drug because it gives you the illusion of control for a season, doesn't it? Let me ask you a question. When you're offended, and you're dealing with a person from that offended demeanor that you have, don't you feel a little bit of control over them? I'm not going to love them anymore. I'm not going to say hi to them anymore. I'm not even going to be there anymore. I'm in control. Now, I'm not vulnerable anymore. Now I'm impenetrable. I'm like Teflon now. You know, but you're not. You're not in control. The devil is in control. That's who's in control. Satan has got a hold of you because now you're not reflecting Christ at all. Right? Jesus says if somebody, you know, smacks you on the cheek, what do? You turn the other cheek. Right? I mean the other cheek. You turn the other cheek. If somebody takes your coat, what do? Go get another coat. If someone takes your coat from you, you go take someone else's coat. That's how it works. Mike takes my coat, I get Jason's coat. See, we're even. And Jason takes Mike's coat, and we just kind of go round and round and round, right? So this is the thing. There's only two possibilities here. The person was either sinfully and purposely trying to hurt you, or he just unintentionally said something really insensitive, right? Isn't that usually the only two things that are happening? Most of the time, there may be a third or fourth thing, but most of the time, someone's either intentionally trying to get you, right? They got people like that, people like that. They're really, you know what God told Moses? He said, they're not attacking you, they're attacking me. They're not attacking you. They're attacking what represents what's right. They're attacking what's representing the right thing. That's what they're attacking. Because they're unwilling to address their own issues. I have people like that in my life. You have people like that in your life. They just won't address the issues. And if you tell them what the issues are, they're going to make excuses and give you every reason in the world why they're still right. You're not going to win with those people. They are easily offended. They have emotional, psychological wounds from the past. They have their public image feels like it's being threatened. They're self-conscious. They're under too much stress, and they take things way too personally. But a Christian should be able to overcome that. A Christian should have great peace because they love God's word. And that's what David is saying in Psalm 119. Great peace of they who love God's word. Nothing shall make them stumble. See, once anger sets in, you go kind of through these stages, and then you have this thing happen. You have this rage and the withdrawal, and then maybe even a verbal assault. Right? Maybe even a physical assault. I know that happens too sometimes. People get physical. Right? Happens with husbands and wives. They get, it's awful, but they get physical. Something offends them, they get physical. Or they get verbal. That's far more common. Little daggers, right? I was talking to a friend of mine a while back, and he says, yeah, it's a kill shot. When something happens and I'm losing an argument, I take the kill shot. And it hurts her. Hurts him. Everybody loses with the kill shot, right? But we'd rather be offended. It's easier to be offended by something than to say, okay, what's my issue? God, I have issues. I want you to say that right now. God, I have issues. And to look at the person next to you and just say, you have issues. And then look around the room. Look around the room. Look around this room. There's nobody here who has no issues. Here's this dear new couple. Okay, I'm sorry. I never do this. We have a brand new couple. They're just visiting. I don't know who you are. I've never met you before. Can I be honest with you? You got some serious issues. Because everyone has these issues. Everyone has them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody's got them. We're all basket cases. We're all in deep trouble that way. But see, we have Christ. And what God does, God gives us, and this is what happens, God's grace gives us the courage to look at that stuff and feel free from it. Say, you know what? I do have issues. I'm offended easily. I have wounds from my past. I have all kinds of stuff. I'm oversensitive. I'm very self-conscious. God, I'm your problem child. And it's not too big for God, because God is able to do above and beyond all you could ever ask or think, right? He's going to supply your need according to his riches and glory. And that's just not talking about cash. That's talking about your need for transformation, right? And everything that God is doing in your life is working together for good, because you love God. And you're called according to his purpose. And that purpose is to be conformed to the image of Christ. So you know all this stuff. And we have all this. We possess this. I was thinking the other day, you know, it's been coming up a lot lately. Things I remember Menzo saying. In the last couple weeks, I've just been overwhelmed by some of this stuff. And I remember him talking about 2 Peter, where it says, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Do you remember him talking about that? He said, you know, we're looking on the outside for God to make these changes, and we're looking all around. Someone's got to edify me. Someone's got to help me. God has already given us what we need for the transformation to take place. Isn't that good? We already possess that. We have it. It's the indwelling Christ. You know, Christianity is the only religion whose God comes and dwells in the man or woman. The Buddhist doesn't get Buddha to dwell in. There'd be no room. Sorry. I'm working hard to offend people today. I just want to see it. You know? That was good, though, wasn't it? But Christianity is the only religion, the only way, the truth and the light. But really, we're the only ones that talk about our God indwelling in us. We should have the greatest hope to overcome anything that's in there. And the light can go in all those dark little crevices and little closets that haven't been opened for years. And God starts pulling stuff out. You know, what's this? You know, you ever go in a closet you haven't been in a while? How about your junk drawer at your house? How many of you have a junk drawer? You crank that thing open and, you know, you got everything in there. You got, okay, pens, pencils, a flashlight, a pair of scissors, rubber bands, string, batteries, an old note that you don't know what you meant when you said it, a set of keys from a house you owned four decades ago. That's your junk drawer. And it's like we all have these junk drawers in our life, where God goes in and says, what is this? God starts sorting out, organizing the junk drawer and organizing other things. And that's what he does. How does he do that? What does he use to do that? Offenses. Jesus said, offenses will come. They're coming. Coming to a life near you. You will. I've never been offended in this church. Oh, fasten your seatbelt. You will be at one point or another. Someone is going to say something or do something that's just going to set you off. Why? Because you have issues. That's why. And the person has a, imagine you put a bunch of people in a room who have issues. What do you think is going to happen? Someone's getting offended. It's true, you know. It's like going to a bonfire with a bunch of pyromaniacs. It's the craziest thing. This is the church. Welcome to the church, everybody. Y'all have issues, and y'all have to interact with each other and overcome your issues in Christ. Guess what? That's life. That's our life. So deal with it. Today's message, I told Mike this morning, stop being offended. What was the other one I said? How to be surrounded by idiots and keep moving forward, right? Stop being offended. Stop reacting that way. Rather than be offended, it's a choice to let God address the things in your own heart, right? So in that passage we read, the Word of God, it's about focusing and thinking on the Word of God, the right things that God has taught us, right? Everything from His commandments, His testimonies, His precepts, His judgments, all those things are the things in the Word of God that we can go to be edified and encouraged about who we are in Christ. And what we have in God, and what God can do, and what God has promised to do. Very few horrible things have happened to me. I think some bad things, but nothing terrible. Nothing horrible has ever happened to me in terms of being offended. Imagine you're Samson, right? And you like this woman. She's nice looking, and you just your family says you can't see her. She's from another. She said, lives in another community. You can't, don't go down that road. We don't do it on that road. And then he likes this lady, and she ends up being a terrible hairdresser. And she finds out from him that if she cuts his hair, he's gonna lose his power. Right? This is why I never go to beauty salons. Last time a man of God let a woman cut his hair, he lost all his power. No, I use it. Anyway, so hey, it's Father's Day. I get to do whatever I want up here.
I'm offended.
Good. You know, and so in his life, they poked his eyes out, right? But the Bible says at the end of his life, he did more at the end of his life than he did all the time. He killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life, right? And here's what I get from that. I think when we go to the cross and die to these things, we do more for the kingdom of God than we would have before that happened. Right? Sometimes you got to get your eyes poked out. You think you know what's going on and all that. He got his eyes poked out. It's a horrible thing that happened to him. But the Bible, and he ended up pushing that wheel and crushing grain, right? Just going round and round. And he had the option. He could have brooded while he was doing that. Right? He could have sulked while he was doing that, and he probably did. But the Bible says his hair began to grow again. See? God uses time and silence and those moments, just silent moments, you're by yourself, silence and time, and then the hair starts to grow back, and then you get a little momentum back, and then you do for God what he initially intended you to do before you had your eyes plucked out, before you got offended. Right? So the offense comes and you seek God, and God does this transformation. You say, why was I so offended by that? And God says, well, here's why. This was the wound. I want to deal with those wounds. God wants to address and heal those wounds. God wants to address and help you understand the oversensitivity. God wants you to really get a grip on this. But ultimately, it's a choice to not be offended. Here's a couple of verses I want you to look at as we close here. Psalm 19, 11. That's not the first. That's not the one. I wrote it down on my notes. Oh, you know why?
because it's Psalm 17, verse 9. What is going on? Proverbs. It's Proverbs. There's a PR. See, I don't have my glasses on. It's a PR. PR. So it's Proverbs 19:11.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Hey, this is the most turning in your Bible you've probably done in 3 weeks. You've looked at more scripture in the last 20 seconds than you have in the last month. All right. I'll be here all week, folks. All right. So Proverbs 19, verse 11 says this. The discretion of the man makes him slow to anger, and his glory to overlook a transgression. See, that's the choice. Your discretion, where does discretion come from? Where does judgment come from and understanding come from? It comes from the scriptures. So it's your growth in knowledge and in wisdom that makes you slow to anger. You know? I remember being in two positions. I was working with Pastor Morin in Rome, and he was very slow to anger. I remember people would do stuff and say things, and I'd be like, you got to deal with this. You got to address this. Why aren't you dealing with this person? You know, he would just say, God is going to work in this. I'm just going to trust the Lord, and we're going to just pray and relax about this. We're not going to freak out right now. And I'd be like, so discretion made him slow to anger. My lack of discretion and my Italian nature made me very quick to anger. Then the next verse says this, because you're slow to anger, it is his glory to overlook a matter. The glory of overlooking a matter. Jesus said, Father, they have no idea what they're doing. They don't know why they're doing it. They don't know what they're doing, but they know not what they do. Most people don't. Remember, the wounder is also wounded. And I think that's the perspective that helps you sometimes. They said something, it hurt me, but you know what? They really hurt themselves. And a lot of people do things out of hurt, you know. I've told you that story about the guy on the side of the highway. He's throwing handfuls of mud at cars as they go by. Finally, someone skids and stops and pulls over, is going to get out and kill him. And the guy said, I've been standing here for 20 minutes trying to get cars to stop. It was a hunting accident, and my son got shot in the woods. See, people sometimes throw things because they're hurt and they're scared and they're wounded. And you have to try to understand that. So rather than lop somebody's head off with your words, sometimes you just have to quietly listen. Understand that they're wounded. You got to address things. Sometimes in organizations, you got to deal with stuff, and you can't for the good of the organization, for the good of the other people involved. But a lot of times, you got to understand this is just a wounded person who's just making a lot of noise. So it's the glory of a person to overlook a matter. That word overlook means to pass over, to pass by, or to pass through. And in other words, discretion makes me slow to anger, and glory allows me to get past the matter. I'm not going to park at this matter. I'm not going to camp around this issue. I'm not going to, say it with me, fixate. We've been talking a lot about that lately. I'm not going to focus on this offense. I'm going past it. You come with me or not, I'm going past it. I can see it. It's happened. I'm going to be slow to anger, because if I get angry, I'm not going to get past it. Right? If I get angry about what you said, I'm not getting past it anytime soon. If I get angry, neither one of us is going anywhere. Right? But if I don't get angry, if I let discretion, and that's understanding and compassion, and I still got to deal with it, but I'm not going to be angry about it, because if I get angry, I'm not going to get past it. How many understand that? All right. Proverbs 17:9 tells me what most likely is going to happen if I don't get past something. He who covers a transgression seeks love. You know what it means to cover a transgression, right? It just means to get through it. Somebody hurts you, you just cover it. But you know what a lot of people do when they get angry? They repeat it to everybody. Now they're going to start yapping and talking all over the place. This is someone who is wounded. This is someone who is offended. See? And now they're going to chatter and talk, and they're going to repeat things that they shouldn't say, and they're going to repeat the matter. If I don't get through something, I'm going to end up being just like that. Because that's what offended people do. They got to defend themselves. You know what they do a lot of times? They gather together their little support group. Right? They got their little clique of three or four people, and now they're going to start gathering them together, and they're going to... And then the other person turns to the other person. Yeah. Next thing you know, all this whispering going on because they're cowards and they're bullies, but they're cowards. And they are because they're wounded people. So you can have compassion on the wounder, but sometimes he's got to be stopped from wounding other people too, right? But I'm talking about me right now. I'm talking about you and I right now, the ones with all the issues. We need to not be offended. We have to choose discretion. We have to choose to get past things. It's about focus and decision. I choose to not be offended. I choose to not be offended. I choose to resist the temptation to defend myself. All of us love to defend ourselves. Hey, no one's going to stick up for you as much as you are, right? Right? How about we don't do that? Somebody says something, it's like, listen, unless it's really, and you weigh the situation carefully, and you have to, resist the temptation to defend yourself. I choose not to be offended. I choose to resist the temptation to defend myself, and I choose to listen to God and grow from this. That's the choice you make when you're offended. Got it? How many got it? You got it? How many of you have recently been offended? Let's take a survey. Right. See, everybody, we're all getting offended. Maturity, and I heard this quote, I don't know where this came from. Maturity is the fragrance the flower leaves on the foot of the one who steps on it. Maturity is the fragrance the flower leaves on the foot of the one who steps on it. You don't? Sorry. I can't help you. I said it twice. Someone please explain it to her. Lord, thank you for this time today. We pray you bless our dads. Boy, I remember my dad. What a dad he was. How many could say that right now? What a dad. I had a great dad. How many had a lousy dad? You know? But you have a heavenly dad now. Paul, did you just raise your hand? No, he's right. What can I tell you? You know what? You had no choice. It's not your fault. And your dad doesn't get issues. What can I tell you? Offenses will come. Believe me, a little later, a couple of them are coming. And you're right. You did have a lousy father. So anyway, God is our heavenly father now. Don't you have a great dad now? You know. He can do a lot more to you than I can, by the way. So Father, we do thank you for that, and we pray that you bless the men in our lives who are dads. We pray that you help us encourage our dads to lead. Encourage our dads to not be offended. Encourage our dad to make wise choices that keep us from stumbling. Great peace have dads who love your word. Great peace have dads who study the word of God. Great peace have people who are in your word, focused on you, and free from the offenses and stumbling that come as Satan lays these traps all throughout our lives, trying to get us distracted, trying to get us to go down these little rabbit trails. God, just keep us focused on where you want us to go and what you want us to do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.